Welcome to the Flat Racing Guru, and we'll have a look at Royal Ascot Day 1. First of all, I'll give you my website, james-wiley.com. Wiley is spelt W-I-L-E-I, wiley.com. If you go and look at Flat Racing Guru UK on Twitter or at Flat Racing Guru UK on YouTube, you'll get the address of the website from those. Right, day one. First of all, I've done the two-year-olds. I've been doing two-year-old pedigrees for years. I had my own two-year-old at Royal Ascot as an owner in 2016. I've dealt with people that do pedigrees for two-year-olds for many, many years. My racing manager used to visit all the top two-year-old stables in the country every season, and I got a lot of information off him. I pre-trainers, you get a lot of information off them, and if you just buy books from the racing post shop, places like that, that guys that write books on two-year-olds, you get a lot of whistleblower information, you know, that you wouldn't hear normally. So it all builds up to a lot of knowledge what I've got over the years, you know, 35, 40 years. I think I've done 57 years of age now, so I've been doing this since I was like 12 years of age, even earlier. So we'll get on with day one and we'll look at the 230. It's obviously the winner, number two, Bayade, is a top class horse, and he's obviously 1-5 favourite, and he's got a rating today. He's on 129, and he's carrying 9 stone 2. So basically, he's got an RPR of 141 today, and he won't even need to go near that. Now, I thought it was interesting when I first looked at this race last week, there's a lot of horses came out, but the ones I was interested in have stayed in. So I was looking at two for the exacta, and the first one was Accidental Agent. Now, Accidental Agent, when he won this race in a few years ago, I remember when he won, it was 50-1 or something. I think it was 2015, but I think it was. He ran to a 1-1-6. Now, I didn't know Accidental Agent could. They found it very hard to train him early on because he kept getting injury, but they always thought he was a magnificent horse. Eve Johnson Houghton did, really top class horse, but they could never get him to train him properly because he was getting injured. Now, when he did win Royal Ascot, it wasn't a surprise because he was beating everything on the gallops, you know, so they all knew and all had a bet on him anyway when he won at the big price. But they've always held this horse in high guard, and Ascot, he loves this track. I'm not sure there'll be enough pace for him, but I still had him down as coming very, very close to getting second in this race, and he is 50-1. He's 50-1 to get to second, so you 1-5, 50-1, we're talking like a 25-1 forecast. And the other horse, I thought that Accidental Agent probably be more a little bit more prominent in the race, and that's number 5, Real World. I thought it was between Real World and Accidental Agent for the forecast. I've got them both on the same rating, actually. And Accidental Agent probably ran his best race last time out, when he was, where was it, at Ascot. Yeah, he was second to Valentino, and he had a 1-1-6 RRP, and he's, you know, so he's be running off 128 a day. If he matches that run, he will probably get second at that big price. But obviously, he is a little bit dependent on pace sometimes, but he does have a really decent finish. And obviously, if they're not going that fast, he's not going to be bothered about it, is he? Because he's got that class, you know, and the experience over the others. So I just thought it was interesting he was that price, and for the exact, because I've got him down on the ratings as coming second with Real World. I've got Real World on a pop, just a bit higher than, he was just beaten by 3.5 lengths last time out. So I've got him on a 120, you know, but it just depends if sometimes he'll run a great race, Real World, then he'll just flop. He'll run a couple of brilliant races and he'll just flop. So that's what the type of horse he is. So are we going to get that 120 run at Newbury behind Bayard? And I don't really know, but you know, you can't ignore it. And 8-1, the forecast is going to be like 2 or 3 quid, isn't it? So, you know, it's probably going to, if you do two forecasts, it's probably going to pay for both of them. If you get one of, if Real World gets second, it's going to pay for both forecasts, I think, just breaking even. But you so, but really, we want the Accidental Agent to get the second spot. Right, we'll go on to the 305 race. And this is a 2-year-old, this is the big one, the Coventry. And I always thought the Coventry is the one of the best 2-year-old races at the whole of the meeting. And actually our race where our horse Magnus, he was running the Coventry, and Charlie Appleby won the race at the time. This is 2016 when Magnus was in the Coventry. I think it was the Coventry. Might have been the Norfolk. Oh my goodness, I forgot. But anyway, I'm so preoccupied by this race now. There was two horses that I've really had a look at the top 20, 30 horses over the last couple of weeks. And I think two horses have stood above the rest. Two horses. I've put them on Twitter, the two horses, and I have got them on my 2-year-old archive page. Scroll down to the bottom, and I've got my top 7 or 8 2-year-olds so far this season. And actually, Noble Style was due to run this race, but they've took that horse out. Now, based on all their runs, I mean, the pedigrees weren't fantastic pedigrees, but I just thought when I looked further into the pedigrees, you know, they are the types that you can get to run really good, really well. You know, instead of having that really magnificent top class pedigree with the dams like a 120 Group One winner, you know, the dams are just below that, but you can get some of them if you go backwards into the family that produce really good 2-year-olds, you know, much earlier, and they tend to top class. Now, there is a. I am a bit frightened that they might lose their form as 3-year-olds, and they'll just, you know, they'll get, you know, they'll take them a bit wild as 3-year-olds. So I'm not sure about the guineas, because they might go into the season coming second or third in the guineas or something, but then start winning the later races. That's what I think, just with them being so early this year, you know, I tend to think they take a little bit longer when they come out as 3-year-olds. You know, can you, like, the likes of Pin a Two Bone, something like that. I was having, you know, sort of matching them two horses because they're similar type of pedigrees. I thought Pinatubo and Noble Stein was very like Pinatubo, you know, that's what I thought. But I did think Blackbeard is going to win this race, and he was 100-30, now he's coming to 5-2. Now, since I put that up on Twitter, he's went from 130 into 5-2, Blackbeard. Now, I think Blackbeard, he's got lengths to spare in this race. And he has drawn 14 right in the middle. I'm not sure that's a good draw, to be fair. I think it is an all right draw, but it depends where the speed is. The last two seasons either been high or low. I think in the middle, sometimes I think you can sort of go to either side, can't you, if he's got so much in hand. And I do think Persian Force, now I've had Persian Force from day one. I said he'll be a Royal Ascot winner type, but now Blackbeard's coming to the race. I can't see Persian Force. I think Persian Force is a great horse, but I think Persian Force is more of a Group Two horse. I've given him 109 rating, so he'll be 121 here according to me. But I think Blackbeard is 121 horse, so he'll be 130. No, 131 horse. Yes, he's a Group One horse. Without any doubt whatsoever, this horse is a 130. That is official. Now, he's not officially rated yet, but I think he's be 131 officially rated, and that is Group One. When they carry 9 stone, 9 stone 3, you're talking 140 RPRs, and that's your Group One, top class Group One horses. I mean, this horse, he looks like a 3-year-old now, doesn't he? Same with that Noble Style. So I think Blackbeard will be very, very hard to beat in this race. I do think Persian Force is the second best in the race. And if you go onto my Royal Ascot page, I'll open it up in after this podcast. You'll be able to see all the tips for the day written down. Right, we'll move on to the 340. Now have a look at my papers. And there have been a few little bits of changes in these races. I'll have a look here. Yeah, well, this is my horse of the meeting, Golden Pal. I think he'll win. I've always said Golden Pal is my banker bet of the whole of Royal Ascot. He has got a good adversary in 12 Nature Strip. 12 Nature Strip is a decent enough horse. He's probably a similar rating as well to Golden Pal. I just think Golden Pal is an absolute freak and nothing will beat him. I thought 2-1 was being generous. I think he's an odds-on shot, ladies and gentlemen. Golden Pal, I think he's a 4-5 all day. It's I mean, as you know, I follow American horse racing for years and study all the speed figures, all the American pedigrees, all the whispers and what's going on. I've said Golden Pal from day one. I even tipped him on his debut, Golden Pal, because the workouts he was doing. Now Wesley Ward, he doesn't show decent workouts. He tries to hide them, so he'll not work his horse full. You know, when you look at a Wesley Ward workout in the States, don't pay any attention if it's not really fast. If you see other horses in that race doing faster work track, because he doesn't like to show, you know, but he keeps all of the effort for actually on the track. So if you look at work times for Wesley Ward horses, just ignore them. That's my advice. Right, I do think Golden Pal will win, and I've got Golden Pal to win this race. I think it's a 3 point or 4 point bet, I think, and I've got the point situation up there, and I've got a decent forecast and exotics in this race as well. I do like a couple others for each way. Man of Promise is one that came up. Mooney Esther is another one. Equilateral, that's another one who always runs well fresh. I thought he was well overpriced, Equilateral, for Charlie Hills. Now Charlie Hills is really doing well these days, so you've got to look at these trainers. I think Charlie Hills has actually improved the last 2 years as a trainer, so you've got to pay attention. And that Equilateral always runs his best race. He's had a rest and he's coming back, and he's 33-1 now. I think that Equilateral could actually go close in this race, but I don't think he'll beat Golden Pal. But I think he could get second or third. Obviously, you've got this Nature Strip. He's got a good rating. He's a good horse, you know, in Australia. So I don't really know much about him because I don't watch Australian horse racing. I mean, I watched South African horse racing for years and years, but not Australian. I know they're good horses. I know they've got very good pedigrees. We get a lot of their stallions over here. So I do look at Australian stallions, and I study them, but not, I don't really look at their horse races. It's just the wrong time of the day. I'm asleep when they're racing. So I thought he was good. Twilight Falls, Ryan Moore's Road. I do like Cheveley Park Stud, but I wasn't really keen on him, you know. I think he's a good horse, a fast horse, but I was rather thought Man of Promise might probably be in front of him, and Equilateral. Also Mooney Esther, I thought he's a quite a decent horse, but he always gets placed, doesn't he? But 16-1, you know, and he's got Colin Keane on. So I thought Mooney Esther was quite good as well. Moving on to the 420. We'll have here. Now this is an interesting race. It's the St. James's Palace Stakes, another Group One. Obviously the favourite is Corybius at 4-6. I did have Corybius to win, but I didn't think he was a 4-6 shot. You know, I thought there was a couple of interesting horses. My Prospero, I thought, was interesting, and I've actually went and tipped number 10, Mighty Ulysses, at 14-1 in this race. I just thought the last couple of races he'll be getting ready, and he's got a lot of back class. What he's going to run to, what, 126? I think he'll run to a 130 today. Karrueche has got the potential to run 133 or something like that, but he is 4-6. I just thought my Ulysses has got a little bit class, you know. And obviously John Gosden wasn't in form in, you know, early May, and I think he's probably got his horses to peak right at the perfect moment, along with Mark Johnson as well. I've heard some that his Mark Johnson horses are just starting to peak as well, so they're right on the bang on the money for Royal Ascot, those two trainers, I think. So you'll get a lot of their horses at decent prices finishing in the places as well, I thought. So I've tipped my Ulysses, but obviously Karrueche will be hard to beat, but it's just no price. You can't back 4-6 horses, you know, you just can't do it. Obviously Charlie being William Buick, and also I thought 11 My Prospero was a decent horse as well. So just have a look on what I've got on the website. I'll sh have a look on Royal Ascot. I'll have a look at there. I should have actually had that up already. I'll just look through my paperwork and have a look at that. There's no rush, there's plenty of time. This podcast is not a rush podcast like normally. You know, they're not going off racing in the next 10 minutes or something like that. So there's plenty of time, there's no rush. I'll just have a look at what I've put down on the website, which I'll open up now for everybody. Yeah. I've got Mighty Ulysses at 16 to 1, half a point each way. Oh, there's the one I forgot to mention. That's number 4, Berkshire Shadow. I've got him each way. It's 33 to 1 now. I thought 33 to 1 now. This is a Royal Ascot winner, wasn't he, when he was a 2-year-old? And having horses trained by this trainer before, I know that he's probably got them right ready for this race. And the owners love Royal Ascot, the Berkshire Paints and Panels and Paints. I know they really love Royal Ascot, and this horse will be at its absolute peak. And when they're at the peak, Andrew Bolden, he can get them to run a bit above their actual rating. So I thought 33 to 1 for Berkshire Shadow is well worth an each way extra sort of thing. 4 or 5 places, you probably get about 25 to 1, 20 to 1. And that's 4 times your money if we get into the top 5 places. So I thought that was another one was interesting. So I've actually, if you look at my exotics on that page, I've got 10, 4, 6, 11, 8, and 2 if you want to do the 60 tricasts. But the top 3 is 10, 4, and 6, obviously, with Karrueche and then My Prospero in 4th point. Obviously, My Prospero is another top class horse. But he's, as again, he's 4 to 1, and I'm looking for value. If you want to back Corybius for a win bet or My Prospero, I mean, go ahead and do it, because obviously these races, I'm looking for horses that's very similar quality, and there might be a couple of you know, rating 2 or 3 pounds. And what's the distance of this race is? Is a mile, so there's still 3 pounds. It equates to 1 length over a mile on the turf. And it basically, what you've got to do is you've got to profile these horses. It's not about weights and measures when they come to Royal Ascot, because you'll get a lot of horses tomorrow, Tuesday, running way above their handicap mark, because they're conditioned to peak, and they will run way above their marks. So that's what you've got to think about. I mean, when you get these Saturday horses and the trainers condition them to win for the owners. They'll run way above their marks because they've conditioned them to run like that. Now, once they're not peaking at that, once they've ran the race, they'll not rerun that same race again when they've won, because they'll have probably created a much higher mark than the handicapper will ever give them. Just because it's so conditioned to peak. When the bloods are right, they test their blood, you know, and their oxygen blood levels are perfect. They actually know when they're gonna win these races by the lab results. So that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at trainers, profiling trainers that'll have their horses conditioned, and there'll be a decent old price for us. And there's a lot of trainers falling into that category who can really condition better than other trainers at Royal Ascot. So that's what you've got to watch, really, because basically they're all within 10 pounds of each other, you know, on the ratings. And if you get one horse really top tip top condition and the blood work is perfect, they'll run that 10 pounds easily. They just the lung capacity, you know, they'll just keep breathing and not take a breath and run on and run on without taking a breath. So that's the way it goes, you know. So you've got to think like that, and that's the way I think, just because I'm looking for the prices for you, for the guys out there, you know. And I mean, you can't distract from the way that trainers like Charlie Appley do condition their horses, so they will be hard to beat. So don't think that they won't be hard to beat, because they will be hard to beat. But we've got to think of other trainers that could just be peaking. Now, I think Charlie Appleby peaked and he's went down a bit, and he's probably peaked again this week, because he is a perfect condition of horses. So when he's had a little lull and he comes back, he'll surprise you know, because they'll just win their races because he does condition perfectly for the day. So you can never rule him out. But we're looking at other trainers like Johnson and Gosden that are probably just peaking right for this week, and there'll be other trainers popping up as well. So you've just got to make a list of all these trainers that condition better than the other trainers, and you know, then base your handicappers in a similar way, but knowing that these horses can run way past their handicap when they're conditioned, sort of thing. Right, now we look at this race at 5 o'clock, which is the Ascot Stakes Heritage Handicap. Now there's a lot of jump trainers in this race, and I don't, you know, I used to watch jumps years ago. I'm not really interested in jumps, so I don't know much about these horses, these jumpers. I did hear Pied Piper was going to run well. You've got Bring On The Night as a favourite for Willie Mullins. But what I've tipped was, I thought number 3 Coltrane would be hard to beat, to be honest with you. Obviously, I don't know much about those jump trainers from Ireland. And us English boys, we get sick of the sight of them Irish guys coming over here and taking our races. So obviously, I want them beat. And I'm going to go with number 3 Coltrane. I thought Chester Runny was just behind Cleveland, and I think Cleveland is favourite for the last race. And he won the ch at Chester, and Coltrane was just behind him at Chester. And they are lucky, the owners, Mick and Janice Mariscotti, they are lucky owners at Ascot. So I thought Coltrane, obviously, is a decent horse as well, and he'd be peaked. So I've got Coltrane to win in that race, each way at 10 to 1, half a point. And if you go on the website, you'll see my exotics. Now we'll come to the last race at day one at Royal Ascot. No, the second last race, sorry, the 5:35. Let's have a look at what we've got here. Yeah, number 1 Cadillac at 8 to 1, and number 8 Harrovian at 10 to 1. Now I thought Cadillac. Now I did have a look at Cadillac when there was a lot of more different runners, and I thought when I first looked at Cadillac's rating, I thought Cadillac he could win this race. That was my first thought when I looked at his form last week. And there's a lot of horses have come out of this race. So when I looked again today, he was favoured at 5 to 1. I thought that was interesting, you know. I do think he can win this race, mind you, because that Jesse Harrington, actually, I was sitting right next to Jesse Harrington at Ascot one day, right next door to when we were getting the tickets to go inside as in the owner's place. And she was sitting right next to me, and I said hello to her. But she's an excellent conditioner, Jesse Harrington. And I thought that Cadillac, when I first looked at the form, was it beat Georgeville, that Ger Lyons' horse, which is quite a decent horse, in a 19 grand race in Leopardstown last time out. I thought that was a really good run, and I thought it'll probably improve because they normally improve after another run as well, them Jesse Harrington horses. So even though it won last time, they do a lot of them do win back to back races. Now I thought Joanne Elgo had a real good chance as well, but I do think Harrovian. Now if you look at all the races that Harrovian's been involved in, and you look at all the other horses in this race and what the you know who they've been up against, I thought Harrovian's got a lot of back class. I mean he's done nothing this last time out. He ran miles behind Lord North, wasn't he, at Maidan, and then he ran in. He was fourth behind Authority in Saudi Arabia, and last season he wasn't that. But when I look at Harrovian, I just think he's always been in the back of my mind as a really good horse, and he's got that back class, hasn't he? So I just thought if he runs up to his race with Gosden coming into form, I think he could put it up to Cadillac. So I've done split stakes in that race on Harrovian and Cadillac. And I do like numbers 9, 2 and 5 for each way sorts as well for the Tricast. So if you do 1, 8, 9, 2, 5 for the Tricast in that race. And I'm just going to talk about those two horses because I think Cadillac will win this race. But if anything beats Cadillac, it'll be that Joanna Alarco or Harrovian. And I've just got a feeling Harrovian's going to run a good race this year because I think he will come back to some sort of level like he did, you know, a few 2 years ago. I've just got that feeling he will run a really good race. And obviously, I think Cadillac will probably win. So there's another 5-1 winner for us if it does. Now, the last race, you've got Cleveland is the favourite. Now, if Cleveland's favourite in this race, what chance has Mike Coltrane got in the previous race before over the similar distance? It's got a good chance, hasn't it? Because Cleveland just beat Coltrane by a neck or something, didn't it, at Chester? But actually, I like Coltrane, you know, as a horse as well, the pedigree, the owners, and the distance, and the trainer. I liked all everything about him. I ticked all my boxes, and I know Andrew can get these horses conditioned to run way above, you know, on the big day, especially Royal Ascot. So obviously, so can the other trainers that in that race. They're quite similar conditioners. So, you know, but I just thought he's a decent horse, and he can, at the price, you know, 10-1 against the other two Irish things. I thought, come on, let's do this. Right, we've got the last. Now, the last race, I've also liked that other. What is it? I think there's a Japanese owner, and I think O'Brien takes on his son here, and I think they could be first and second, you know. That number 4, Okita Sunshine. I think that's been laid out for this race, to be quite honest with you. Looking at his last race, and the Japanese owner. It looks like a horse that'll really improve from his debut in May. His season debut last year, he won a race at Fairy House in off a mark of 94. And the last time he ran it, he was beaten 3.5 lengths by Raise You over 12 furlongs at the Curragh, 1.5 miles off Raise You. That was a really good race, and he posted a 1.11. Now, if he can improve at anything off 1.11, he's carried 9.11, so that's 1.14. I mean, most of these in this race are 1.112 with all up when you bring them to the ceiling weight. And if he does 1.114 and he does a little bit improvement, because they're going over extreme distances, so 1 pound equates to a length over these extreme distances. So they don't improve as much as sprinters, you know, 6 and 7 pound a race. but they will improve 1, 2, 3 pounds maybe, and that'll put him up to 140, 50, 170, and then 170 and he'll win this race. So I thought Okita Sushi possibly could win the race and beat Cleveland. But obviously Cleveland's a good horse. It's got that form he won last time out at Chester. And he beat Coltrane, who I think could win the race that just after one race before this, sorry. And for the exotics, I've went for 4, 5, 11, and 3. So basically it's close to the top four horses, and I do like a couple of horses for the each way extra 5 or 6 places. Dane Hill Kodiak, 33-1. Now remember him? I remember him when he was a 2-year-old, Dane Hill Kodiak. And I did get a pre before the horse even ran. I think it was Richard Hannon who trained him years ago. And my boss did get a quote off the horse before he ran. Said he was a decent horse and had a good pedigree as well. He didn't turn out to be the greatest, but you know, he still run at the age of 9 and he ran an absolutely brilliant RPR last time out. So I thought, you know, that's a good horse. And he's still a 9, you know, 9 and still racing. But he ran a great figure last time out, so he might get each way extra, you know, 5 places. And I thought the other horse who's just been put in the race over the weekend is Get Shirty. I mean, I thought he's not going to be up to it, but when I looked at his rating from Hamilton, 104, and he gets £8, so yeah, that's a 112. I mean, most of these are 112 and 114. But David O'Meara, I love David O'Meara. He's a great, excellent trainer for the big occasion. I mean, he is a great conditioner, I know, but they're all running natural. Put it that way, they run natural. So he's not cheating or anything like that. But he does get them absolutely brilliantly conditioned naturally. You know, so that's trainers like him. He stands above other trainers because he doesn't have to do all the other things. You know, we can't mention what they do and what they up to. But you can just tell by handicapping, you know, there's no way this trainer, he's just popping up with 33-1s and all the rest of his horses are doing absolutely nothing. Then he goes quiet for 3 months and all of a sudden another 33-1 pops up. And this is not going on for 6 months, it's every year. They're doing it every year. So you tell me what's going on there. No, you just can't handicap horses or trainers like that. So you put them down as profile. You profile these horses and trainers and you write a little mark about them. You know, and that's what I'm talking about as profiling these trainers. They keep cropping up with these big priced horses, but none of the other horses are coming anywhere. And they just run into their marks. And these are running way off their marks and they only do it for one race. You know? You know, any handicapper who knows what I'm talking about, any handicapper who knows what I'm talking about, a good handicapper who knows that it just doesn't make sense. And if you're doing it for years and years, it just doesn't make sense. So you can profile these trainers and actually you can make a lot of money with them. I profiled about 10 horses over the weekend because of the trainer. 10 horses. I said, this horse. And there were all sorts of different prices. And what happened? I think 7 of them, 10, won. And the thing is, I was so busy with Royal Ascot. This is what I'm telling you. Normally I would have backed them, but I just looked at them. I didn't even look at the handicap. I just profiled. I had the trainer's name and the horse profiled. So I don't. It's like, I just look down the card and I see the trainer and I can look at the horse and have a look at it and I'll profile it. I say, yes, that's ready. And what happens? It goes off and wins at whatever price. So that's what I'm talking about with profiling these trainers because they keep doing it over and over again. You know, it's like, where are the authorities sort of thing. But you're going to have to work it all out for yourself by listening to me, but I'm not mentioning any names. You know, because there's nothing you can do about it, because obviously the authorities are not doing anything, so it's just an open season. And what I'm saying to some of these trainers, like Amanda Perrott and that, who and there's another couple of them, They just train their horses naturally. They don't do anything untoward, but they don't win races. I mean, they're being cheated out of. I mean, can you imagine the horses that do win for those stables? How good they must be going against all these. What can I say? I'm not going to say words that will incriminate myself, but you know what I'm saying. It's really difficult for these trainers to survive when they're up against. I mean, these day and age, I think it's just totally corrupt. I mean, it's catching on in South Africa. That South Africa has just got so ridiculous. I mean, they're winning at 100-1. I mean, it's the same trainers over and over again that's winning with these big priced horses. And then they'll throw in about four or five favourites, and the favourites won't do anything. The mug punter, the mug money would be on them horses. You see, that's how they keep the balance of the books. Well, that's day one of Royal Ascot anyway. And if you go on the website, I'll open it up now. And we're ready to rock and roll. Let's get those winners in day one. And I'll do the next podcast. For Wednesday, I'll have the podcast up in tomorrow morning.